Invitation song will be number 322.
Good evening. I'd like to consider with you one of the core themes that runs throughout the Bible, and it begins very early on. It's this separation that exists between God and man. That God is separate from his creation because of our sin. That it begins, this theme of God's separation from man begins as in the third chapter when man is kicked out of the garden, the third chapter of Genesis. And it you see that pattern continuing throughout all of the Old Testament. You see in when Moses is asked to see God in Exodus, that no man can see his face and live. That toward the end of the book of Exodus, the last many chapters are about the tabernacle, and throughout all of those details, you see that even when God is planning and is instructing his people on how he is going to dwell among them, it is very separate. There's so many rules on how God is to be revered, how he is to be respected as holy, how he is to be, while dwelling among his people, separate from them, distant from them. You see, in Leviticus, all of the laws center around the idea of being holy, for God is holy. They are to be a holy nation because God is holy, because he is to be revered as different from us because of our state, because of what that theme running beginning in Genesis 3. But of course, we know in the New Testament this changes. There is a change in this distance between God and man. And that occurs because God then walked among man. He came to join us not in the representation in the temple, but he came as a man, as Jesus. He joined us in all aspects of being a man. I'd like to consider with you this change, how God then joined us, how he came to be with us. I'd like to consider a few things about that. First, let's consider the way he did it. He came to join and be with us as just a man in many ways. He was born, he grew, he worked, he lived, he ate and slept. He was a man. He walked and did everything normal to being just a man. And quite importantly, he joined us in something that is common to all men, in that he suffered and bled and died as a man. If you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4. The Hebrew writer draws out the importance of this quite clearly. If you join with me in reading in verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And this, in Hebrews here, he's talking about how we have a high priest who understands us, who understands our weakness, who understands people, because he came down and joined us as a person. And yet the way that Jesus changed this dynamic of distance and separation between God and man doesn't end with him just coming down and being our high priest, being understanding. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and that by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you, who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to you, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And if you then turn with me to Romans, the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, and that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also, reckoning yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so in coming and joining us in our mortality, in the same process, he not only changed the separation between God and man by coming closer to us so that Jesus could understand and be our high priest more fully, but then he brought down that separation by bringing us together with him, by joining us to his body, by raising us to join in his life. So I think the invitation from here is simple. Will you die with him so that you would live with him? Would you join the death of our Lord in how he came down to join with us, so that you could join with his new life? We know that that occurs, as was described in Romans, through baptism, by joining him in death and joining in the burial of that old life, and then joining again, rising from those waters, alive in Christ. If you are subject to that invitation, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Bring Christ your broken life.